Okay. So, good evening, everyone. And there's a few weeks ago, there was an incident. We have a supporter and she planned to come to stay in the monastery for many times. And it's always something happened that she has to cancel. Then finally, a few weeks ago, she make it. Then we said, oh, at last you make it. Because she planned to come and it's always something happened. She can't make it. And then at last she come. Then we said, oh, you make it. You are here. Do you know what happened that day? She has her high blood pressure shot up to 240 that day. And she has to send to emergency. You see, all these things, sometimes we plan and plan things, isn't it? Some like the Buddha said, you know, what you expected to be is always otherwise. Sometimes we plan things, things don't always go according to plans, isn't it? It's happened all the time. So how many of us, you know, that happened to us all this time? But sometimes we still don't learn, isn't it? We still keep, you know, thinking that maybe next time is different. Oh, it's going to be better, you know. And then I remember there was another incident that happened a couple of months ago. There was an incident that happened in China. And I think because due to the bad weather, they had to cancel the flight because the weather is too bad. And the people so mad at this, you know, they hit. They beat this staff at the counter because of the cancer. You know how people really crazy, isn't it? Because actually the expectation come from craving. We want something. When we can't get what we want, we angry, we got upset, isn't it? That's right. Because we longing for this to happen. We want this to happen. And then when it's not happening, we are so disappointed. And then sometimes we got so upset, we think that maybe someone, we will blame others because of this, because of that, you know. Or sometimes we get upset with ourselves. Maybe we think that maybe, you know, I'm not good enough. Maybe I didn't do the right thing, you know. Sometimes even you do the right thing, still things don't happen according to our ways, isn't it? Our plan, isn't it? Because things happen, it's just like the Buddha said, things happen according to many, there's a multiple causes and conditions. So, our own making, our planning, our decision is just part of the whole thing. You see, sometimes like, you know, it's just for example, like, we want to plant a mango tree. So, we will research, we do the right thing, we find the right soil, you know, whether this is the right climate for this plant, this fruit, you know. And we do all the right thing, we put in fertilizer and, you know, we water, you know, we do everything. And then, there's a storm. The plant's been damaged. So who fought, isn't it? That's not beyond our control, but sometimes the problem is we think that we're in control. We can make things happen. But sometimes, some of the things we can control, some of the things we cannot control. You know, but we have this unrealistic expectation. We think that, you know, that we can make it happen. We can make things happen according to our plan, our ways. We want our way. But sometimes we can't really control everything. We can only control some part, you see. So that's why there is no right or wrong decision. So, you know, our decision making is only one part, isn't it? So sometimes when things happen according to our plans, so we think that we make the right decision. When things don't happen according to our plans, so we think that, oh, maybe I make the wrong decision. Actually, it's nothing to do with that. No one knows what is going to happen, isn't it? Like me, I never thought one day I would become a nun. Nothing, I ever never thought of that, you know. Throughout my life, this never go according to my plans. It's always happened outside. It's never go according to my plans. I never planned that I'm going to become a nun. Even when I was young, I didn't even have good impression of being a Buddhist nun because I have the perception of, because when I was young, Normally when someone passed away, someone, you know, we will ask monks or nuns to come and chant, you know, to conduct the funeral. So my perception of being a Buddhist nun is like a funeral director. So, of course I want to become a funeral director. This is not something that is, I don't have really good impression of that, you know. So that, I never thought that I'd end up to become a nun. Even a Buddhist nun, you know, especially, I don't have good impression of. They say sometimes things don't happen according to our place. It's not necessary that it's bad, isn't it? Because sometimes, like, we lock in into our ideas, our opinions, that, you know, things have to be that way. So when things don't happen according to our plan, according to, you know, because we have ideas of how things should be. So sometimes the tricky part is that we lock in. We lock in. When locking into the ideas, you know, this is the only way. It should be happen this way. Nothing outside that. When the things don't happen according to what we plan, so actually we think that is bad. You know, actually things don't happen according to our way or our plan. It's not necessary, it's bad. We think that is a problem. Actually, it's not necessary a problem. Because when things happen, you know, that don't go according to our plans, actually it's the opportunity for us to learn, to grow, isn't it? So it makes us think outside the box. You know, that's why sometimes it's not necessary a bad thing when things don't go according to our plans, because it makes us think outside the box. We don't lock in into our views and opinions. You know, things become very rigid. So we are not open. Sometimes not necessary that, you know, things, some I was busy with a building project. I always have problem. I always have to change the plan all the time. And sometimes, so many times afterwards, I was thinking, wow, gee, I told the other mom, I'm so glad that things didn't happen according to my plan, because it's better. It turns out to be even better, because it's sometimes that it really force you to think outside the box. Sometimes we think that, you know, that sometimes having things don't go according to our ways is not necessary, it's a problem. Sometimes actually we grow, we learn more, you know. Sometimes it just change. Like, for example, we always have so much, lots of problem with the structure problem. I remember our central walkway, because we are building in a on a gravel pit and it's sitting on the cap rock. And our plan of our initial plan is the roof, you know, the cover central walkway, actually the pole, you know. So that we use the footing is to digging in the footing, but because it's cap rock. Because sometimes we don't know what is there until we hit it, isn't it? Until they dig, oh, they can't dig, it's cap rock. So it will be frightfully expensive, it's going to rock breaking. It will be how many times more expensive, you know? Then we can't dig, so what are we going to do? So we just have to change the footing. Rather than dig, you know, the big foot digging in, we build a big slab. So we build on top. So we have a slab to hold down as a footing, then we solve the problem. So they say sometimes, because if we think there is a problem, we will make it a problem, isn't it? So we think there is a problem and then we keep focusing on that. They say sometimes it's all come from our own creation. Actually, a lot of suffering we create for ourselves, you know. And we think that we're in control. For example, like, that is part of life. Because of the lack of the understanding, we don't understand life, we don't understand that this is part of nature. Like the body bound to grow old. So death is not optional, you know. But sometimes people think that they're in control, they can control the body, you know. Like they said now having this plastic surgery, you know, they think that they look, that they won't grow old. That we just deceiving ourselves, you know. You do plastic surgery only the surface. Isn't it? Your part is still old. So eventually, you know, growing old, is not incurable. It cannot be fixed. But sometimes we still have this unrealistic expectation, thinking that maybe it's, you know, maybe I can do, you know, maybe plastic surgery, you know, I won't grow. And then, you know, I look young. But even though apparently you look young, but your body is old. You know, sometimes we think that we're in control. So we try very hard. So sometimes it's very scary to someone when they face old, rather than we accept and make peace with that. Because this is part of life. But do you expect having the body? When we have the body, we're bound to get sick. We're bound to grow old. You know, when we grow old, you know, our eyesight gone, hearing gone, you know. It's, you know, our memory gone. I know it's very scary to some people, that is a very scary thing, that if the memory is gone, you know. It's just like, I remember this morning, I read that there was a story about these two old lady. They were friends for many years. They partook in many activities together, and they've been friends for many years. So they used to partook in many activities, you know. But because of growing old, then they limit to just a few times a week. They have less, you know, activities. So, and one day they were playing the cards. And then one of the old lady said to her friend, said that, "Now don't get mad at me, because I just certainly can't think of your name." So, and then I thought and thought, I just couldn't think of your name. So her friend, so glared at her. Then at about, you know, about 3 minutes, you know, and you know, staring at her, glaring at her, you know. So after 3 minutes, finally, her friend said, "How soon you need to know?" This is something we have to, you know, sometimes to, because sometimes it's a really scary thing, you know, that we because this is what we don't accept that it's part of the reality. This is part of being, you know, this is life, you know. So, but sometimes we have all this unrealistic expectation. Sometimes if we always, you know, sometimes we expect things, you know, that the life could not offer. Then we are finding for trouble, isn't it? Rather than we just grow old gracefully, yes. What to do? You know, even we have dementia, then dementia. If we have Alzheimer's, fine. Alzheimer's, what can we do? You know, rather we make peace at it. But if we develop our quality of mind, have the attitude, if we have the inner beauty. I remember someone shared with me that that the person partners, that This man, he's a very lovely person. He's really very kind and very nice person. So even though he's having dementia, actually he's still very nice. He will say, like, sometimes he thinks that he don't recognize people. Then he will say, "Okay, even though I don't know you, please come in. Come and have a cup of tea." And still very lovely person. He just don't remember things, that's all, you know. Sometimes it's not something that is so scary, but sometimes we create a lot of problems for ourselves, rather than we just accept that this is part of life. You know, sometimes we have a lot of unrealistic expectation. Like, for example, there is I remember some times ago someone told me that her parents, her mother, she feel really guilty because of the having a good family, good job, and she find it very difficult to accept, and she feel guilty that she have depression. She think that she shouldn't have depression because I have a good family. I should be happy all the time. You know? And actually depression is not a problem. You know? Doesn't mean that you have a good family, you don't feel that way, because sometimes maybe your life sometimes may be too stressful. Sometimes you need to just relax a little bit, you know. Sometimes when you worry so much, when you worry, and actually it's quite draining, you use up lots of mental energy. When you use up lots of mental energy, and you have low mental energy, and you don't have energy, and actually it's very easily, you know, where you feel when you have low energy, it's very easily to feel depressed, you know. So actually, no one happy all the time, isn't it? So if you leave it alone, you know, depression come, it will go. You know, everything arises, will pass away, won't stay there. But she think that I should be happy. I shouldn't feel this. It's a problem. If I depressed, then that is a problem. I shouldn't feel that way. So, and then she's. And actually, she reinforced that tendency. She make it even worse. She feel even more depressed because she think that she shouldn't feel depressed. She become more depressed. Yeah. And this is part of life, isn't it? When this happiness, when happiness arises, when happiness end, suffer, isn't it? So then, after when the suffering end, happiness. This is always like that, you know, this is part of life because we lack of the understanding. So we don't understand life. They said the more you understand life, the happier you are. We don't expect more from life. But the problem is we expect so much from life. I remember that sometimes we have people come to me like complaining about the partners, or you know, or the wife complaining the husband. Then sometimes I said to you, you know, before you married, do you know that your wife or your husband is just the way he is? He said, yes. So I said, so what is the problem? You know, but the problem is sometimes people have this unrealistic expectation, thinking that, you know, after a marriage, so I said, never, never, before you enter a marriage, never have the thoughts, that have the expectation of, I'm going to change my partners, you know, shape them into the way I want them to be. I said, you'll be very disappointed, you know. And then sometimes like, people think, you know, if, like fairy tale, you know, after marriage, you know, happy ever after. And then they try very hard, try to change. I said, rather than, you know, before if you truly love that person, you love the person as the person is, isn't it? You accept, you know, that person shortcoming. Sometimes we think that, you know, the other person has shortcoming, we also have shortcoming. We think, sometimes people think that I have to put up with my husband, but the husband also have to put up with them. You know, sometimes we think that they have, you know, then actually to really embrace, you know, that, you know, we are not perfect, and then we expect the other person to be perfect, and then we have this high expectation of maybe after married, my wife or my husband would change into the perfect, you know, ideal husband or ideal wife. That I, you know, that I expect them to be. Then they try very hard. And then you're bound to suffer, isn't it? You'll be disappointed, you know, rather than you just accept the person as the person is, you know. This reminds me of, like, you know, like sometimes how people say, oh, I regret, you know, if I were to know that, you know, it's like that, I would not have married this person, blah, blah, blah. You know, I remember some times ago, one of my relatives told me, when her husband said to him that, you are really stupid, she said, yes, I am stupid. That's why I married you. So because her husband said, you are really stupid. Yes, I am. That's why I married you. If I'm not stupid, I will marry you. You know. And sometimes we have these ideas, that this expectation of, you know, like, you know, once you get married, everything will be fine. Actually, you know, it's not like a fairy tale, you know, we have this high expectation. And after that, I shouldn't have married this person, blah, blah, blah. I remember there was a lady asked me, and said, how to change my husband? You know, sometimes he's very messy, he's living all over the place. I find it, I can't stand. Then I asked her, how long you have been married? 24 years. So I said, why bother? Isn't it? 24 years, I said, she's still not, you haven't given up yet, still want to change him. I said, it's much easier to accept him, isn't it, than to try to change that person, you know. Yeah, this is how we have all this, you know, romantic, you know, and all this fantasy that, you know, house, you know, after marriage will be like the fairy tale, happy ever after, even not happy ever after. I remember this morning I read there was a story from this, a joke from this Gigi Graham. You know, we received this once a month, we had the Gigi Graham. So there was a couple married for 20 years. And then one night in the middle of the night, the husband got up and they were sleeping upstairs. So he went down and to the kitchen. And then for a good while, the wife said, why he's lying down there? What he's doing in the kitchen? So the wife went down and have a look and saw his husband looking out the window, having a cup of tea, staring outside. So he asked, what's the matter, darling? So the husband said, oh, no, it's nothing. There must be something. How come in the middle of the night, you know, no one get up in the middle of the night and you're having a cup of coffee and staring at the window? Then he said, just let me know, what's the matter? So he said, you remember 20 years ago when we just met, when we were kissing on the front porch, your father came out, you know, and your father through the window and with his shotgun and shouting at me that, you know, you kissing my daughter like that. So you either married her or I will send you to jail for 20 years. So the wife said, yes, I remember that well. So why? So then the husband sighed. He sighed. I just realized, you know, after 20 years, I just realized that my sentence would have been complete up. So then I was thinking, it's like you marry her, stuck for the rest of the life, you know, isn't it? Then now, you know, at least you sentence to 20 years, you still after 20 years free, but this one life, you know, is that? So he was, you know. So if I choose to go into the jail, at least I free, you know, after 20 years, you know. And this is how we, because actually come from our expectation, that's what we bow to suffer. We don't see that it's the reality, you know, not being realistic, you know, and then we think that we can control life, and then, you know, rather than, you know, we enter into a relationship, it has to be mutual, you know. Any relationship have to base on trust, compassion, kindness, forgiveness. Then only you can enhance the relationship. So because, you know, that, like for example, if that relationship is based on lust, it won't last, isn't it? Those chemicals, the neuron, you know, only last for 3 years. After 3 years, you were looking for another one, you know. But, you know, because that's why people say, you know, love is blind. When people fall in love, they're blind, you know. So everything is good that become the emotional part just overcome the logical part, you know. That's why sometimes the scary part is that if we too much into, you know, if we lock into our own ideas, and then we have become so controlling, and then we try to control everybody, we try to control the people around us. Actually, we are not only creating suffering for ourselves, and also we cause a lot of suffering for others as well, you know. And also, then we are not open, we lock into our ideas, as Buddha said, you know. Like this is sometimes how when we lock into our ideas, you know, sometimes can be very scary, because we will twist, you know, and bend, you know, the truth, you know, to fit into our belief, what we believe. Because sometimes when we lock into our ideas, you know, it becomes like we believe this is the truth. This is the only way, there's no other way. And then that's why sometimes we become not open. It's just like the one of the simile the Buddha gave, you know, is that there were like a fool and a wise. they're going for on a journey. So then they found some wood. So they pick up the piece of wood. Each one of them pick up the piece of wood. Then after that, they continue their journey. And then they found iron. So the foolish one, so hold on to the wood. The other one, the wise one, will let go of the wood. He pick up this iron. So then after that, they found silver. And the wise one will drop the iron, will pick up the silver. This one still hold on to the wood. The piece of wood is still holding on. And then they found gold. And then the wise one will drop the silver and pick up the gold. And this one still holding on. So they said sometimes, like when we lock in into our views and opinions, we become very narrow-minded, very rigid. We are not open. They say sometimes, you know, leave it open. If things don't happen, you know, sometimes things don't happen according to our plan. Actually, you know, it's blessing in disguise. It's come us to be even better. You know, that's sometimes that, like, you know, like you have the openness. It's okay. You know, that sometimes that, like, people worry so much, you know, make sure that plan, that things go according to the plans, and that they become so worried, isn't it? Plan A is not enough. You know, they have to plan for plan B, and then plan C, in case it doesn't work out. But sometimes we just have to leave it open, and we can only deal with the situation as it happens. So sometimes we waste so much time, you know, worrying about it, you know, worry about things don't go according to our way, you know. Sometimes it's fine, you know, that it doesn't go according to our way. Sometimes not necessary is a bad thing. We have the openness. Sometimes we be able to think outside the box, we don't lock in. Becomes like very rigid. So that's right, you know, that is okay. Anyway, things is not going to happen according to our plan. It's hardly, you know, I remember that we have perfect plans. For example, in the monastery, we have our mobile phone. In case if our phone is not working, our landline is not working, so we have a mobile. So that, you know, so with the mobile, we still can check. Like bushfire or whatever, we still can use a mobile. And that's there happening. You know what happened? That we have the power outage. You know, no power. Usually there's no power. The line, we still can use the landline, but the landline also gone. And then so we thought that we have mobile. We still can rely on mobile, but no signal, because both the backup battery of the landline and the station, you know, power of the station of that mobile, you know, mobile, the signal that is a station, that is a backup power, also been stolen. Both been stolen. Sometimes we can plan and plan, what can we do? And then we ended up completely cut off. Completely no power, no landline, no signal. Sometimes you can plan and plan, isn't it? But if you're going to get upset with that, we are going to suffer, isn't it? So they say sometimes, you know, it's okay. You know, this is part of life, because some of the things we cannot control beyond our control. So things happen according to multiple causes and conditions. Some of the things we can control, some of the things we cannot control. You know, sometimes we think that, you know, because of, sometimes we when things don't go according to our way, we start to blame others. We think that it's some the other person's fault. And then we blame ourselves, you know. So the first thing, normally we blame others. We think that, you know, we can't see ourselves. Sometimes we thinking that, oh yeah, because of this thing not happening, you know, or, you know, like these people have this expectation that, you know, if I marry, like some people enter into relationship, okay, I married you, so this is your responsibility to make me happy. So if I'm not happy, that is your fault. It's not my fault, you know, that it's sometimes very difficult. We can't see ourselves, you know. That it's very easy. We can see others, so we can see the shortcoming of others. We can't see ourselves, you know. They say sometimes, you know, that expectation come from the craving. We can't see, like but when we crave, our mind is moving. So until when our mind, we develop the stillness, we have the clarity, we can see things clearer. So because of we keep moving, they said one way to overcome this to overcome this craving actually is to develop contentment and to develop that present moment awareness. Sometimes it's always we have this high expectation of ourselves and others. Sometimes those expectations that is really being unrealistic, you know. Sometimes we expect too much from others, and then sometimes the same, isn't it? We can see others, we can't see ourselves, you know. There's sometimes I remember someone told me that he said, you know, when I look into the mirror, I couldn't believe inside the mirror this old man is me. They can't accept that, you know, is it me? I'm that old, you know. So what do you expect? This is, you know, this is the body. The problem is, you know, our mind don't grow old, isn't it? Our body grow old, our mind don't grow old. So that's why we don't understand this is part of life, you know. We have this expectation from life that life could not offer. That is unrealistic. What do we expect, you know, when we're getting old? But sometimes we don't accept. Sometimes we don't. We very difficult for us to come to the place of acceptance. When we come to the place of acceptance, accepted that this is part of life, then we suffer less. But we keep thinking that our problem is outside, so we try to change everyone. You know, from outside, we try to change them to fit into our ideas, you know, and then we want others to live up to our expectation. Then actually, lots of suffering is our own creation. Even sometimes people meditate, and then they said, oh, I sit for an hour, then it's peaceful, but not peaceful enough. So they expect more. So I said, what do you expect? Like for example, someone told me that, you know, he said, this person used to not be able to sit still for even 5 minutes. He said, I'm very fast. I'm always running all over the place. He said, my mom can't catch up with me. She said she walked very fast. She's always, you know, running around. Never be still for 5 minutes. Can't be still for 5 minutes. And then she said, now I can sit for 2 hours, even though it's not deep. Then I said, it's a big step, isn't it? But she still thinks that it's not good enough because of we have this high expectation of ourselves. We still think that it's not good enough. They say sometimes develop that contentment is good enough. You know, it's okay. You know, sometimes we don't look at how far we have come to, how much we have achieved. We keep looking at the yet. So we have this high expectation, we want more and more and more. Because the expectation comes from craving. Nothing is good enough. They say sometimes that we look at it, it's good enough. And then have the, you know, develop these qualities like forgiveness, compassion. So we be able to embrace others' shortcoming because it's very easy to. Sometimes, you know, people complain to me like the other person do this. But actually, that person who complain also do the same thing, you know, because it's very easy to see the mistake of others. You can't see yourself, you know. You think that you don't have it, but actually you have the problem. But you think that other people having that problem, and then you get upset with the other problem. But rather that we develop this, you know, kindness, compassion, and these qualities of forgiveness. You know, that it reminds me of this again, that another old couple. That one day this husband went to the doctor and said, I'm a bit concerned with my wife because he's a bit deaf. Because he cannot hear me The first, he cannot hear me. He couldn't hear me at the first time. He could not answer me. Then I have to repeat many times. Only she answered me. So I'm worried about she's been deaf. So the doctor said, okay, you can test her severity of her deafness. You know, so you stand you have to test. You stand 15 feet. You know, from her. Then, you know, then you see test and see, you talk to her. See whether she respond. If she doesn't respond, you go a group 5 feet closer. If she doesn't respond, you go a bit closer. So he followed the instructions, so he went back. So his wife was cooking in the kitchen. And he asked the wife, you know, honey, what's for dinner? The wife no response. So he went 5 feet closer. Said, "That honey, what's for dinner?" No response. So he went further closer. Then again, no response. Until he went so close to her wife, you know, "Honey, what's for the dinner?" So the wife turned around. "This is the fourth time. Vegetable stew." Sometimes we think that other people have problems, but we don't see that we have problems. Sometimes we keep looking out, expecting some, you know, that sometimes this is how, when we have problems, rather than thinking that outside the object is a problem, sometimes we look in. Sometimes actually a lot of the problem is come from inside. Rather than what's happening to us is not really a matter. You know, we cannot control what's happened, isn't it? But it's important that how we react. Because it's easy to see, you know, it's easy for us to see others, we can't see ourselves. They say sometimes, you know, like, sometimes people think that, oh yeah, you know, I don't have this problem, you know, only other people have this problem, and then they got very upset with others, you know, then they think that poor me, I have to put up with all these people, they're horrible. But actually they're doing the same thing, you know. They say sometimes, you know, we don't try to get rid of problem, you know, we look in and to understand. When we suffer, we try to understand why we suffer. So don't try to get rid of problem, because some of them actually is not a problem. Actually, we make it a problem. This is just part of life. You know, we cannot control. So rather than we make peace, you know, with every moment, every situation that we are in, rather than we, you know, fighting with that, because a lot of things we cannot control. We cannot, you know, we cannot control other people. We cannot change others, isn't it? So the easiest way that we change ourselves, you know, to change our way to relate to the situation. So it's not really what's happening to us is really matter, that we have to look at. You know, our attitude, how we relate to the situation. Do we relate to the situation with kindness, compassion? Or just, you know, to make peace with that and at ease and at peace with that. There's sometimes that it's good that we lower our expectation. You know, and develop contentment is good enough. You know, could be far worse. There's sometimes people tell me this, oh, this happened to me. I always tell the person, could be far worse. Then the person feel a bit better. Oh yeah, could be far worse. It depends on how you look at things, isn't it? Depends on how your attitude. So if the attitude, you have the positive attitude, so no problem. So you don't see that it's a problem, that it's not no longer a problem. If you think that it's a problem, you make it a problem. So that's like one of the way to help, you know, to overcome this, because the expectation come from craving. So develop contentment, because sometimes we miss out a lot, because we keep looking for things that, you know, we think that, you know, our happiness will come in the future. So we keep seeking, you know, but actually We don't have to wait for our happiness to come in the future, to come, you know, the happiness to come, you know. Actually, we can be happy in this moment because of our craving. So we are, because we are running away from present moment. So we keep running away. So actually, to develop that in our daily life, develop the synchronous, you know, to strengthen your mindfulness. Whatever you do, when you eat, you are eating. But some people, when they're eating, they're thinking of something else, you know. Then actually you miss out a lot of, you know, you miss out the most delicious food, isn't it? So whatever you do, just enjoy the process. So just enjoy each moment. Make peace with each moment. So if we don't have to wait for the happiness to come in the future, we can be happy, at ease and at peace with this moment. So develop that, to strengthen that, whatever you do. It's okay, sometimes when your mind wander off, you bring it back. Keep focusing. Because sometimes if you don't have we don't have the synchronous, we don't train the mind in this way, so our mindfulness is not strong enough. So when our mindfulness is strong, we have the brightness, we have the alertness. So when our mind is bright, when we alert, we have the clarity. We see things, you know, we can see things clearly. But sometimes because we don't see that. How many times, you know, I keep saying, you know, people, you know, keep hitting the wall for many times. They still want to repeat that. Even those that, you know, things that, you know, don't happen according to the plan. And we're still hoping that this time I'm going to make it. Each time we think that this time, you know, we don't learn, you know, because of we don't see that. Until we have the clarity, only we can see. That's like when we are deluded, we can't see the delusion. We can only see when we were deluded. So when we are deluded, we can't see. That's like the only way to overcome that is to develop your clarity. And until you have the clarity, sometimes it's difficult. It's so obvious, you know, we can see others, you think they're so obvious. How come the other person can't see? They can't see because sometimes they're locked in. They can't see. You know, they decide to apply that in a daily life. Develops the focus, the synchronous, whatever you do, one thing at a time. Strengthen your mindfulness, when you have a strong mindfulness, you have the clarity, your mind is bright. So this is help to all. And then develop qualities like contentment. Sometimes we have to program our mind, remind our mind. The part of mindfulness also remember that, okay, this is good enough. Whatever I have is good enough. So we don't expect more than that. But sometimes when we overcome by craving, we can't see. Because when we overcome by craving, when we can't get what we want, so we got really upset, really mad with people. And then when we have this negative emotion, actually it's unpleasant. And actually we create suffering for ourselves. If you understand that this is part of life, what do we expect? You see, things don't go according to our way. We cannot control our body. We cannot control our others. We cannot control our children. We cannot control our partner. So, like Achan Cha said, you know, he said, at last, joy, at last. He find no happiness in the world. So I said, joy, at last. I'm not in control. So, don't control. That's why sometimes I let people be. So that's why if you can ask all the nuns, I never control them. I don't try to imagine. If I try to shape them to the way that I want them to be, they have to behave in a particular way. You know, they have to walk in a particular way. Actually, who is the one who's tired? I'm the one who really stressed out, isn't it? Then he said, just imagine how boring life, isn't it? If everybody looks the same. So sometimes it's unique. They are, you know, each one of them is unique, you know. Then they say it's not so boring having all the things, the same thing, you know. So we just accept, you know, just embrace. It's okay. Don't try to control everyone. Don't try to make everybody, you know, the way we want them to be. And actually this has come from our sense of self and our craving. So I offer this for Dhamma reflection. May this teaching benefit to all of you. So any questions or comments? Richard from Germany. Dear Wenbaha Sapanya, I work in the clinical science. I try to follow 5 precepts, but my work involves killing mice for research purpose. Am I in trouble? The question is, this person, Richard from Germany, he said, I work in clinical science. I try to follow 5 precepts. But my work involves killing mice for research purposes. Am I in trouble? Actually, this is not an easy solution. Because sometimes I remember, I just give you the simile that was from Achan Cha. There's a story from Achan Cha. So he went to the there's a village that is all fishermen that fish. That is the only way they earn their living. So he can say that, you know, you are killing, you stop, you don't do the, you know. So actually he started to teach them other skill, like, you know, like with medicine and things like that, because he can't ask the fisherman stop his job because he got to still have family to look after the family, you know. He cannot just stop because this is the main source of earning. So until that those fishermen, you know, they have developed and then they have other skills, then he asked him to quit the job. But of course, you know, the job like that, yeah, it's like but it's this job actually is that there is the Buddhists talk about in this noble four path. This is the one of them is like a right livelihood. Like those you earn, you know, when there is not the right livelihood. Like for example, you trading, you know, this alcohol, drugs, and like lives like that, you know, then this is not a right livelihood, because it's also affects our mind too. We don't have the peace of mind, you know. So that's like that. I know we have people also quit their job because it involves killing. So that's like, of course, you have to earn your living. So before you know, you get another job, you know, that sometimes you just, that's like the Buddha said, the first noble truth, that is when he said suffering actually is much more like, because of the translation, they said first noble truth is suffering. What he means is that life is inherently unsatisfactory. Whatever we do is not going to be perfect. Sometimes we live in, you know, the being alive, actually sometimes we do, in somehow, you know, whatever we do, sometimes we do living on the expense of others. We cannot avoid. For example, if we build, there's some creatures, you know. But sometimes that is part of the whole cycle. So they said, the Buddha said, the only way that you're out of the cycle is not to be reborn. When you're born in this cycle, sometimes it's a difficult, we always put in a very difficult situation. Like for example, some people ask me, I have termite problem. So how am I going to do with my termite? Because I can't allow the termite, you know, to eat up my whole, you know, to damage my whole house, you know. So they say sometimes there is no easy solution. That's part of life. Sometimes we can only do the best. They say whatever we do is our motive, our intention. That do we have the intention to kill, to harm? You know, so always go back there. We try our best, you know. So I know some people get worried about, oh, you know, I'm, you know, that I I will kill, you know, how to practice the first precept, not to kill, because sometimes I say if you carry guilt, you know, I said no one in this world can practice Buddhism. I said sometimes you walk, you might step on the ants. You know, what can you do? You know, you don't have intention to kill, isn't it? But if you worry about that, then you create a lot of suffering for yourself. I said, no one can practice Buddhism, isn't it? So I said, this is that we cannot avoid sometimes, you know. But it's always good that, you know, not to involve in this profession. Because it's in this noble four path that is in a... that is not the right livelihood. So Anne from Malaysia, please advise how to use Buddhist wisdom to maintain sanity of mind in a court case. In trying to use Dharma teaching to cope with these obstacles. Actually, this is always go back to, for example, I have people asking me that, you know, they go through a court case and how am I going to perform, and what do I say, what shall I say? I said, the only thing that you can maintain that is to develop your peace and calm. So I said, you know, you try to make your mind as peaceful as you could. I said, because when you have the peace and calm, you have more clarity. So this is the only way, you know, to maintain that. Because when you develop that, you know, I said you just do what you can. You just say what you need to say. Sometimes I said you try so hard. You know, what should I say? I try to memorize. Should I say this? Should I say this? I said it's difficult. I said sometimes I said you being honest to yourself. You know, just honest, just to set, just being honest to oneself, and also yes, to maintain that actually we have to develop the stillness. That strengthen our clarity. So when we have the clarity, we have the inner stability. So when we have the inner stability, then we'll be able to maintain this the sanity of mind. Because when someone have completely no mindfulness, that person is insane. So we have different level of mindfulness. So the only way, there's no shortcut. You have to develop, strengthen your mindfulness. And it's just like the mental muscles you need to develop and you have to keep strengthening. It's just like you have to go to the gym to build up your body muscles, and the same thing, you have to build up your mental muscles, and that you have to keep practicing. That is the only way to maintain that, to strengthen your mindfulness. So any questions or comments?
Hasapana, thank you for the very interesting deep talk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd like to say, you know, yeah, it's like you're talking about strengthening our mindfulness. Yeah, it came to my mind. When I have problem, you know, okay, yeah, if it's a disturbing problem, this thing, okay, what I do is first I calm myself down,
mm-hmm.
okay, yeah, and then I'll break it into three parts, you know. First thing is the situation, especially if it's an unpleasant situation, okay. And then second thing is my mind, you know. I see how my mind reacts to the situation. And from there, how I feel, you know, the disturbing feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this way it helps, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For me, you know.
Yes.
So you have to calm down first, and then you work on that, work on impermanence, no attachment, this thing, you know. And then it helps. And then you find that once, if you calm down, the disturbing feelings dissolve, then you find that the problem is, like, solved.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is when you're feeling, you know, that, you know, the disturbing feeling, you know, mm-hmm. that's the problems in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
true. Because when you are in that frame of mind, when you are agitated, irritated, actually sometimes you can't really think. You just, first of all, you have to calm down your mind first. So especially you have confusion, and some people say, oh, I'm not sure whether this how to make the decision, whether this is right decision or what shall I do. I said, when you don't have the clarity, I said, you don't try to make any decision. Isn't it? You haven't got the clarity. I said, you just walk away. I said, sometimes you think that I have to resolve the problem. I have to solve it. I said, sometimes you don't have to. You just walk away to make your mind as peaceful as you could. Then when you calm down, you can see things with the clarity. Because like sometimes we try to resolve a problem while we still have that kind of, you know, our mind is like very agitated and irritated. And actually the best thing is to walk away, to find a peaceful place, you know, to calm ourselves down. Yeah. Any more questions or comments?
Thank you.
Any more questions or comments? Okay, so that's it. Okay, thank you for listening.